I'd like to call to order our regular scheduled city council meeting, successor agency, Stanton Housing Authority joint regular meeting of Tuesday, October 11th. We did not have a closed session, and so there's nothing to report out. So if you'll please all rise. Okay, Sue, would you please lead us in the pledge tonight? Thank you.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, our nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Madam Clerk.
Council Agency Authority Member Taylor. I thought I saw him, excuse me. Is absent. Council Agency Authority Member Van.
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairman Ramirez.
Here.
And Mayor Chairman Jobber.
Thank you. We have no special presentations or awards tonight, so we'll move to the consent calendar. Is there anything the public would like to pull at this time or address?
Mr. Mayor, we have no requests.
Okay, staff?
Mr. Mayor, we have no requests from staff as well.
Council? Okay, the only one I would like to pull is 6J, and I'll move the balance.
Second, the balance.
Go ahead.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Councilmember Van?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez?
Yes.
Mayor Shaver?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver, we have item 6J, which is the award of contract to TPX Communications to provide telecommunications services.
Yes, I believe we do have a representative here this evening.
Yes, sir.
If he would come up and introduce himself and tell us a little bit about the program that we're getting, that would be awesome. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak tonight. And we are from EX, and we're happy to partner with everybody and provide telecommunications that from cybersecurity to connectivity, voice services, and everything above. We are specialists in cybersecurity as well as a lot of different other functions of IT support and staff. We have a 24/7 two security operations centers as well as security network centers as well throughout the U.S. and we have data centers as well throughout the United States.
Are you going to be, what other IT services will you provide besides security? Anything else?
At this particular time, we're looking at providing connectivity as well as voice services, as well as an SD-WAN solution, which actually gives you redundancy within your infrastructure.
How much upgrading does the city need?
At this time, I believe we looked at, I would refer to Martin. Because we took an assessment of what was happening and what you currently had and made recommendations on what would bring it to be able to provide redundancy and scalability for the city.
And how long before we're up at the level that you feel is acceptable?
Well, I think there's separate, we're doing it in phases, so it's not gonna happen all at once. So we're looking at doing the voice services, connectivity, and the redundancy for the first day.
Do you have anything to do with our phone system?
Not today.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, not today.
We could use a little help there too. Any questions, Council?
No.
Okay, thank you. I'll go ahead and move item.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for showing up.
I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Roy, we can move forward with a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, item passes.
Okay, we'll move on now to public hearings, of which we have none. Unfinished business, item 8A, American Rescue Plan Act, ARPA project updates. Sue.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the City Council.
Just kidding.
So we are actually in our 15th month of ARPA funds, and this is as of July 31st, 2022, although we touch upon some of October. So as you can see, the current projects and the budget, we are at about 16% of expenditure with 84% remaining. And as a reminder, the funds are to be expended by December 31st, 2026, encumbered by December 31st, 2024. You can see the highlights. They have been spent out, which contributes to the 1.4. Our total was 9,123,660, of which we have ongoing projects. So tonight, I'm going to be talking about some of the accomplishments so far that these funds have been working with. So disinfection at city facilities, 100% spent out. For merchants, disinfection and sanitizing services. We still have COVID tests for those who need to take the test or at home, and then our lab testing that was conducted. All told, 31,000. These are our homeless outreach coordinators, and just to remind everyone, we hired our first homeless outreach coordinator September 2020, and then May 2021, and then October and November following two additional coordinators. We are one short after one of our outreach coordinators actually got promoted and got a job at a probation department. So we're very happy for her, but a little bit unfortunate for us. But you could see some of the accomplishments. And this time frame of the stats are from July 2021 to September 2022. These are unique engagements, 1,055 individuals with engagements over 3,400. Our outreach phone line, 5,691. There were 200 housing or shelter placements throughout the region. And then these are the public health benefits that were given to the individuals that were made contact and engaged. And again, because of the hiring of four and now three, we were able to do a 7-day coverage. This particular stat is a little bit different because it comes from a third party, which is our Outreach Grid app. And here it shows you the collective power of those when we work with a network. So the network is that we have 10 other or nine other agencies, including Stanton. And of that, just Stanton alone affiliated clients, there were 372 that other network providers sent to the navigation centers at Buena Park and in Placentia. And then you could see if we did our outreach alone, it would be 247 total requests, 120 are unique. And then we had five. So the five are, as you can see, we had four homeless outreach coordinators and one behavioral health deputy. Actually, it's just a deputy, but not just a deputy sheriff. And then here are our Orange County Sheriff's Department positions. So our crime prevention specialist hired in February of this year. And really, this is a prevention for public safety services and really meaningful community engagement, whether it's our residents or our businesses. And then our office specialist hired in last December and really opening up the lobby. And you can see the lobby's hours Monday through Thursday, 8 to 5. And then substation offers various languages, including Spanish and Vietnamese. This is one of those projects that were 100% expended. They came under budget. So this is really good. The floors were completed as of July, late July, and the savings may be, again, as written, committed to substation repainting. This is the community and economic development positions of the planning manager hired in December of 2021. And then subsequently, the departmental assistant hired the next month in January of 2022. And again, you can see that the Stanton Business Connect program was revitalized. Refinement of the city rebranding and implementation working with the Community Services Department. of course, the Planning Commission agendas, and really supporting the town center specific plan and assisting with the general plan and zoning ordinance update. This also has been extended to next month of November 2022, and it was really a software program that engaged folks for local hazard mitigation plan for public review and comment. And it hosted that, and by all accounts, it was very successful. So the compilation and the tracking and the monitoring of ARPA funds would not be done without these two, and I'm gonna name them, Mariana Sanchez and Jason Hewn, our management analysts. I would not be up here saying anything if it weren't for those two individuals, because they're dedicated to tracking, but not just tracking and counting beans, if you will, but also analyzing and to make sure that we're in compliance with the U.S. Department of Treasury, whether the ARPA funds are being utilized, is it static, is it dynamic, working with finance, and with actually all of the departments, because you can see that it touches each of the departments. And they really are the custodian of these records and making sure that it is following the compliance of that. So I'm just standing here and speaking, really. There's like a little machine and it's coming in. I'm speaking from that. I hear whatever Jason's telling me to speak on. The NeoGov, so Stanton is going to be attracting the 21st century budding talents through the software, from recruitment to all the way to scheduling interviews. This has been really a game changer for human resource and for the city. Boys and Girls Club, they have become beneficiaries. So what that means is that by definition, once ARPA funds have been released to the entity benefiting from these funds, it's expended. That's from our perspective. Now, having said that, the funds are sitting with the Boys and Girls Club. They are intending to entirely go to zero, meaning all $250,000 will be spent by August of 2023. And they're working on, again, you can see the plumbing upgrades for the touchless fixtures, the playground play safe, and then if funding is available, some technology upgrades. So we will be working with them very closely. And actually, I meet with them once a month anyway, so. Property acquisitions. Really, this is about beautifying Beach Boulevard or any Stanton neighborhoods for refinement and enhancements. And thus far, about 0.4%, about a little under 5% have been expended. So pandemic-related expenses, when you look at this, this is really speaks to the emergency sick leaves. And the difference between an emergency sick leave and the emergency administrative leave, I think it was in January of this year when the Omicron variant hit, and we really had to shut down City Hall for maybe 3 weeks. Some folks in our staff cannot work remotely. And so they were able to not have any economic hardship by utilizing the emergency administrative leave. The emergency sick leave is really those folks who have COVID or are taking care of a family member who has COVID and would use those hours or that leave. And I believe that the ARPA funding extended, or there was a supplemental that extended to the end of this year, this calendar year, December 31st. You all know about the community needs assessment. I can't even remember when it was. I think maybe the early summer or maybe late spring. So the Probowski group did the community needs assessment, and you remember that homelessness was the number issue. But also, mental health was the negative impact coming out of COVID. And I'm gonna speak a little bit about that at a different slide, but that this has been expended. Our outdoor fitness program at Stanton Park, and you will, I mean, speaks for itself, but I think the best part is I had to ask, what's a TRX wall? It's one of those walls where, first of all, it's going to be beautified, but what they told me was that it's a body weight exercise and resistance band wall. So you really get your workout when you utilize the wall and not just the fitness equipment. And it's going to be aesthetically pleasing. Maybe it'll motivate you to work out. But it's 100% but expended. Pardon?
The location of that, where will it be?
Stanton Park.
Yeah, but where?
Parks Master Plan. This is a little bit incorrect. It's not over a decade. The last Parks Master Plan was in 2005. So we're a little bit behind, but this is very timely. And again, these funds, they call them once in a lifetime funding. So I'm glad we're using it for a Parks Master Plan. They did have a public workshop at the end of September, and they will have one about 2 weeks, and another one in November. So this is the Family Resource Center, and it is our last slide to this ARPA update. And this is going back to the Provosky Community Needs Assessment, where the mental health services were vital. They doubled the client capacity, limited wait list, and the counselor was able to then provide other services to the groups at the Family Resource Center, whether it's the CAC group, the Community Engagement Advisory Council, or different community events. There are crisis counseling, individual, group, and family counseling, along with couples. So this is everywhere. It's not unique to Stanton, unfortunately, for this need. And that, I believe, the presentation.
Thank you, appreciate it. In hindsight, do you think we should have squeezed the bubble on one program to give to another? But too soon to tell.
I believe that we have room to do that, even today and going forward.
Do we have any money left?
Yes, we do.
How much?
Well, here, I might just go to the slide that chip.
As kids navigating that slide, all the money is currently allocated, but we have identified projects that we may not advance with, and that's where the additional money would come from. But at this time, it's not determined. Still have until 2024 to encumber the total amounts, and then until 2026 to expend them. So we have some time to pick and choose if there are other projects we want to fund.
There's something that if the council will give me an opportunity to present this. What I'd like to do at this point is to go to two different departments in our community to see if we can't take, if there's a need, and use some of the money from ARPA to help. So in order for us to do that, we need to see if there's a need. And I think the best way to find out if there's a need is to give the departments that I appear to recognize may need some help. The first one is going to be our city maintenance people, okay? And if Mr. Wren, if you could maybe get back to the council, I would appreciate it on some help if it's needed in a couple of areas. I've noticed that with the amount of transients that we have in our community, and the number, as you know, fluctuates depending on what day of the week it is. We have been impacted and inundated with a great deal of trash. And so one of the things that I would like for you to let me know if are to free up our city workers to do what they do best, take care of our infrastructure, if there would be a need for us to maybe get a service to help keep the parks, our right-of-ways, the bus stop areas, and the many different places where the transient people occupy throughout our community. So if you could maybe get back to me to see if that would be something that we could use a little bit of money to catch up so that we can have our city look pristine, especially with the holidays coming up. I noticed that I don't know how you guys keep the parks clean. I mean, every day it gets worse and worse, sometimes good, sometimes bad. The sidewalks, just depends on who's camping on them. I notice when the businesses take them out of the centers, they move on to the sidewalks and then the trash and debris piles up there. We did take the bus stops out, but they still camp there. It's like, you know, the people that camp there are happy there, and even without the bus benches and terminals and cover, they're still there. And the number of people who are doing that are increased, and so is the trash. Graffiti, we did have a run on graffiti because school started back up again, but you got caught up on that. So if we can use a little bit of ARPA money to get the city cleaned up and stabilize it so that we're not dedicating all our city resources, especially our city employees that are doing our infrastructure work, I would like to know that. Then to you, Chief, if you would get back to me to see if maybe we can get a little bit of help in the shopping centers, whatever we can do to keep those cleaned up. I know that you have been extremely busy doing a great job on major crimes and crimes within our community. But there are some things that are going on there which we hopefully will be able to address with a private program that Carol Warren came up with, which is called Business Safety Zones, to where we work with the different centers to help them provide a cooperative effort in private security to help clean up some of those areas. It seems like they push them onto the public sector and then they get pushed back onto the private sector, and it seems like the people know the game pretty well. And so we're kind of caught between the worst of both worlds. And so if there's something we can do to help with your department with that, it would be great information to get. I also know that Union Pacific Railroad right-of-ways, especially on the street fronts, have become completely inundated with a great deal of trash. And that has not been addressed by the railroad. So maybe if there's something we can do to reach out to them to get help with those folks. But I think, these are things that take away from the needed services that we provide in our community with law enforcement and also with infrastructure maintenance. And if we need to come up with a program to help stabilize that, then I would appreciate finding out. If we don't need it, we don't need it. But it's something I'd like us to look into. So, and if there's any money for it, then that's why I'm reaching out to you. Anyway, thank you for that. Okay, is there any other information that we need? Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm just curious. Are the rest of us okay with this?
I'll be honest. I think that one-time money should be spent for one-time expenses. I don't think it's wise to commit, a one-time funding like this with ongoing expenses such as hiring bodies and park maintenance or things like that. We need to be really strategic about the services that we're going to provide and making sure that it's sustainable. Although I do agree that there are a lot of issues that need to be addressed, but I want to make sure that the way we address it is going to solve the problem, not just put a band-aid on it. ARPA funding goes away. We don't have the funds to maintain the high quality services that our residents deserve.
So are we okay with at least staff looking in to see if there's a need? good with that?
And the thing is, we all know because we see it every day, and you know, there's good days and bad days, but you know, if it's a bad day, it's a bad day for the whole city. And the business owners are complaining because they say, well, you know, we put them out on the sidewalk, and then they make a mess there, but it's still adjacent to my property, and I think that's what is the downside to it. So if there's something we can do to help resolve it, I think just getting caught up is the key thing here. And we may never get caught up, but I think if we don't do a concerted effort, and I'll be honest with you, I mean, just another example of something we could add to that is shopping carts. You know, and Gary's not here, but I know that anytime Jim goes out and collects all the shopping carts in the city, it really helps our community. Well, maybe if we did that on a regular basis for a short period of time, that might help us get in the right direction. Because if you right now, you can find shopping carts throughout our community. And Carol brought a really good point with the fact that we do have a code that requires those shops or those carts to be standardized under control of the people that have them. So maybe we need to take a look at that again and find out, well, if we're not going to do that, let's at least get them collected and off the streets. Because right now, we're kind of inundated with shopping carts everywhere. And I don't think that that's what we want to have as an appearance to our community. You know, that old thing, out of sight, out of mind, well, if it's in sight, then it's on people's minds. And then they relate to, oh, how horrible the city is. In reality, our outreach coordinators or our police department are doing a really good job, but visually it's a negative for us, and I think it detracts from the true job that our community people are doing. Okay?
Cool.
Go ahead, Carol.
At one point in time, we discussed geofencing where the carts had a wheel on them that would lock and it could not leave the area of the business. And I don't know what happened to that because I checked the shopping carts and there's nothing on them.
We went as far as institute the shopping cart ordinance, and that was good.
Yeah, so out in Forte, yeah, exactly. We're not getting anything, so we might want to take a look at that.
Yeah, put it back to the cause.
Well, as an example, Home Depot just spent $40,000 buying new carts, which is stupid because every new cart they got, I can go find the one they lost. It's in the city, you know. The other thing, too, and I'm not picking on the city yard, but I don't think we should collect the cart and put it outside the gate so that people can just pick up their cart. If we're going to collect a cart, I think we might want to keep them inside the yard so that somebody has to come and claim them. Because if I was a person that wanted a shopping cart, I would simply walk down to the end of Pacific Avenue, take one out of the rack that's on the sidewalk where we leave them sitting. So maybe that might be a deterrent if we didn't have them accessible to the public after we take them off the street. Just a thought. Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
Sue, great job as always. Keep track of every dollar, because I know someday somebody's going to ask us how we spend it. And I know that you know where the money went, so thank you for that. Okay, this was a receive and file, I believe so. So we don't have any action on this, right?
Well,
you want to do that action on that, right? Go ahead.
Well, with council direction now, we do need, it's no longer a receive and file since you're directing staff to do additional work, so we do need to take that.
All right, if everybody's okay with that, let's hear back from our staff, from the sheriff department, if we can do anything to help you with lighten your burden on some of the little low-hanging fruit that you don't have a lot of time for. Doesn't make it, you know, I think it's good that we free you up for the things you really need to do and not these other things like graffiti and, you know, trash and that type of stuff. And Jim, if you let me know if we can help the maintenance people with the cleanup, I think that's going to be very important. It doesn't cost a lot of money. I know that we can probably actually save money because I figured out what it costs our deputies, our outreach coordinators, and our public works department to do all these little things. And we could have saved half that money just by hiring a private group to go out and do it to help our people. And we would be a lot better off than we are now and it wouldn't cost us nearly the amount of money that we pay our people to do it, which detracts from their regular services provided for the community. Thank you. All right.
Adam, a motion?
Yeah, I think we're all okay on that.
A motion and a second?
I'll go ahead and make the motion that we hear back from staff on that and see what kind of direction we can do to help them.
A second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Hearing none? On to item 9, new business, Mr. Mayor.
Good. This is broadcasting city council meetings. Who gets this one?
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and members of the council. As of the council meeting of June 23rd, 2020, the city has created audio recordings of city council meetings, which are then posted to the city's website once finalized. At its meeting of November 9th, 2021, council directed staff to research options for the televising and or broadcasting of city council meetings. Staff has conducted preliminary research to understand the spectrum of available options as well as associated cost estimates. This research was conducted for informational purposes. Preliminary cost estimates for one-time investments were between $28,000 and $120,000, with ongoing recurring costs between $4,000 and $31,000. It is important to note that the city's adopted fiscal year 22-23 operating budget does not contain funding for any broadcasting services. Prior to investing any significant financial resources, staff is proposing to gauge demand through live streaming of council meetings utilizing the Zoom virtual meeting platform for a 12-month Staff will track Zoom participants for each council meeting during the pilot program and will provide a report back to council. If after the proposed pilot program the council chooses to move forward, the city would undergo a competitive request for proposal process. The end of the proposed term for the pilot program will align with the beginning of the budget development process for fiscal year 24-25, allowing the council to consider this program in relation to other council priorities. That concludes my staff report, and staff is available to answer any questions.
Okay, I'll turn it over to the council for discussion or questions. Go ahead, Carol.
For DCPA, we're due equipment at no cost.
That is correct.
So keep that in your file on that one. So yeah.
It says ongoing cost estimate. My understanding is that this is a service they provide. Why would there be an ongoing cost after the initial investment in the infrastructure?
That would be potentially for repairs or maintenance of existing infrastructure to support that service. The other ongoing costs are if we choose to go for the different format or medium. For example, if we choose to go for a completely cloud-based solution, those are like subscription services.
Do you know
if
DCPA is used for automatic?
Cost to hardwire this place to make happen.
The estimates that the prior city manager and public works director came up with were $120,000.
That's about what the average is for all the other city councils. Depends on how many cameras you have, too. If you have more cameras, it could run up to $160,000. So, you know, we are, you know, we're long overdue. You know, there's some additional costs that we have to be careful of, you know. The new thing is how many languages are you going to have it in? That's something to consider. Are you going to have any special events here? They're going to be using the cameras that we're going to have put in here. So those are some of the other things. What we should probably do is give an idea of what some of the other cities' programming within their council chambers are and see what other types of opportunities there are and what those costs are. So I think we can provide that for you, for the whole council. I think that's good if we do that, okay?
If we were to go to the Zoom virtual meeting platform and broadcast it ourselves, could we create a Stanton YouTube channel and post it there?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And what's the usage there? Anybody know?
Although when we had that Zoom streaming of our council meetings, firefighters came, I think they were like, showed up and watched.
No, there's two ways to do it. First of all, we pay into the PCTA, and so that's part of the budget process. It's just a matter of which way you want to go. I will tell you from experience, if we have televised council meetings, instead of them lasting a half hour, they'll last 4 hours. But that's, if that's what you guys want, that's what you'll get, just so you know. Because everyone and their uncle wants to be on TV. Nothing bad about that. Except that's just the reality of it.
Kind of is.
Huh?
Kind of is, but it's a waste of time.
Well, I know, but I'm just telling you, that's why over the last, I don't know, 35 years, we've never done it.
Right.
Because if you do it, your council meetings are going to last 4.5 hours. We'll be out of here at midnight every week.
Yeah.
But that's the choice that the council has to make.
Right. I mean, I've always been a firm believer that someone really has something to say, they can get in their car, drive a half mile, spend their 3 minutes, and leave.
Well, that's the way most of us feel. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a demand. I mean, we've done dozens of neighborhood meetings, hundreds of business meetings. Not once can I remember did someone say, hey, why aren't you broadcasting live? Never.
No, but I think also there's no reason why we can't do what Alice suggested, is to simply put it on YouTube. You know, it's a one-camera shoot. You know.
No, I'm, and I'm good with that. My concern is, my indigestion is with the $120-some-odd-thousand-dollar one-time hit to benefit how many people? Seriously. How many people are actually going to watch?
Well, I think if you count how many people are in the audience tonight, there's zero.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the reality of it.
Right.
I forgot what they call them, but there are a group of people that just love to see themselves on TV.
I get that.
And so they come down, and you said they waste the whole evening. Mm-hmm. Because the people that really care or have a problem, they show up and talk to us. And we usually don't limit them to three minutes.
Or they send their district person a direct email.
Right, exactly.
For action.
Which we all get.
Right.
Yeah. He also travels to Orange County supervisor meetings too, so everybody can share his voice. So yeah, but I think a test of Zoom is a good idea. I think putting it on YouTube is fine, as long as we promote it or just going to sit there in oblivion. So maybe we test it on Zoom, see how it goes.
Yeah, just looking for consistency, right? I mean, for any project that is six digits, we do our due diligence. We do our homework. We do an analysis. We see what the need is and whether does the need justify the expense. I just want to make sure we follow the same path here.
That's exactly
all.
What Zoom is.
Right.
Collecting data and making sure
right.
It makes sense.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think the good news is that if we find that we don't need it, then we don't need it. You know, the thing too is the governor just signed, what was the bill he just signed? HD?
That was
1186 has been signed, so for the future, we can Zoom all we want.
Yeah.
So it's a great period to do this as a test because we have the blessing of Sacramento. So I think that being said, the way, from what I'm hearing tonight, why don't we just table this for now and go ahead and follow the new requirements or the new abilities that we have under the government order from the governor and go ahead and continue on with making available public meetings through that process if we want.
Oh, okay, but give it some structure though. I mean, let's say we go down the Zoom route. What are we going to track?
Well, that's why we're at a point of where we're going to get the staff to get that together and bring it back to us so that we understand what's available out there, what our choices are.
So, okay, so who's going to define the participant data? And what I mean by that is how many people are going to log into Zoom, how many people look at YouTube? Is it the same user every single week? Is it the same user that goes to Zoom and YouTube?
Or is the girls just wanting to see the firefighters?
Correct. That too.
Or is it the firefighters who want to raise and get all their buddies to watch? Right?
That too as well. Correct.
One comment I will make is Microsoft Teams has a whole bunch of problems getting hacked right now. So now that we have our new handy-dandy security people, Zoom seems to be much more secure than Microsoft Teams, but we should probably talk to the IT people about it and go from there.
Why not just WebEx?
WebEx is another option.
Sure.
They have just Microsoft Teams.
Well, first of all, Microsoft Teams doesn't work on most of the boards that I'm on. It's horrible. And people have trouble with it, and yet they wonder, our own staff says, why do we have Microsoft Teams? It doesn't work. So I think we need to look at what our options are so we get something that's functional, that actually works, number one. Number two, what value is it? And number three, who's going to be using it for the amount of money that we're going to spend to make it happen?
I think maybe if we did like quarterly poll and ask the people that are watching Zoom who they are. As far as I'm a citizen, they don't have to give name and address, but you know, just keep on top of it so we know who our audience is.
Right. Whether it's growing, trending up, trending down, flatlining. Agreed.
Okay, that being said, it seems that we need to get brought back to the council what programs are available with online so that people can watch it through the different processes. That's number one. Number two, what are we going to track so we find out its value? Number three, what the cost is going to be to the city versus the use? And then are we going to make it tri or quadrilingual or five languages? I mean, are we going to need five languages? A way in which we can let different people be.
My understanding is that the amazing advances in technology, if you put things on YouTube, it'll computer generate caption.
Yeah.
And with that, you can use the auto translate option. So you don't actually have to put really any resources in there. There's already, it's already a feature that's in place on YouTube. So I'm not really concerned about the numerous languages that we could offer, be done automatically, computer generated.
Yep, you're right. I think what we should add to it is, how is the city going to promote it?
Okay, well, the other question is, so basically, probably our first step is to go through the YouTube process and not start with the Zoom process. Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is, even Zoom does closed captions here. So what I'm saying is, what we're concerned about with language access and things like that is not really going to cost anything because these are features that are embedded in the software itself. So I say we do what the recommended action is, which is to do a 12-month pilot program with Zoom, which doesn't really cost us anything because we already have a Zoom subscription as a city. And then our staff could track the data, and then in 12 months we come back and decide whether or not we're putting in more investment. Because it's Zoom, using Zoom as a platform is such a low-level investment for us that I think it's worth it. I guess what I'm saying is we'll just follow the recommended action and then it doesn't really cost anything.
Right.
We'll review this in 12 months.
But we're not doing it with the PCTA.
Not yet.
Okay.
Zoom first and see how it goes. That staff has recommended.
Okay, do we need a liaison from the city?
No.
Council?
No.
Okay.
The staff can handle it.
Just all I ask.
That's fair. Unless the city manager wants another subcommittee.
We're going to take an MPEG file from one and put it in the other
one.
Right. Okay, so that being said, does somebody want to make a motion?
Well, what's the motion?
I'll make a motion. What the recommended action is.
Okay,
I'll second that big motion.
Okay, go ahead.
And I'd just like to clarify, the recommended action does not include posting on YouTube at this time. It just includes broadcasting live during
Yeah, so sorry. I would take the recommended action. In addition, we'd like to post the videos on YouTube, which the city YouTube has exactly 44 subscribers.
Right.
Okay. And we have a motion? Okay, so would you repeat the motion?
Mayor and Council, I believe this is a motion to accept staff's recommendation for the pilot program. To that posting recordings on two channels.
And monitoring.
Okay, so that was, everybody's okay with that then?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Patricia.
We have a motion by Councilmember Vann, a second by Councilmember Warren. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we'll move forward.
Okay, item number 10, oral communication. Anybody want to speak?
Mayor, we have none.
Is there anyone from the audience that would like to speak? Okay. Close public hearing. Written communications, we have none. Initiated business. Go ahead, Carol.
I would like for staff to look into a pay raise for city council. We haven't had a pay raise. I came on in 2008, and we have never had a pay raise, cost of living increase, nothing. So I'd like for staff to see what we have to do to give the council a pay raise.
I think it, isn't it one, is it 1% a year or 0.5% a year? I can't remember.
Mayor Council, I have not.
I think it, yeah, I think it's one, I think it's 1% a year.
Garden Grove just went through this exercise.
There's a statutory provision that governs increases to council compensation. It does have time elements on it.
Yeah, timing element.
When that can be done, and so on and so forth. So there's a statutory process, and certainly
anybody object? Said, does anybody object? Okay. Committee reports, announcements.
We had our first legal club this past Saturday at Stanton Central Park. It was hosted by the Stanton Foundation as well as two other nonprofits. It was extremely successful. 30 minutes before the legal clinic been open, there was already a dozen people waiting outside, eager to get in. We were very pleased that on the day of, we were able to offer services in English, Spanish, Vietnamese, and Korean. So we're very excited to have so many lawyers with so many different English capacities. So thank you so much for the fee waiver that allowed us to make this happen.
Thank you. Yeah, I do want
to. Would you do it again?
I would do it again if everyone else was on board. But it was very successful, and there's definitely a need. And I would probably maybe help Senya out with an office and see if we can do like a monthly thing at the FRC or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we can have that legal clinic available for the population on a regular basis.
Cool. Good idea. Thank you.
I will. Would like to thank the council for supporting and the. Myanmar rally for Burmese people. We had it Saturday. It was flawless. A lot of young people there. We had 4 congressional representatives, and Lou Correa spoke. This was his second trip here. I really appreciated that. It was nice having him here. We do have it televised, so we'll be able to run it on local PCTA. I think it just lets people aware of the fact that nothing's changed in Burma in a year and a half, and they're still killing people. Unfortunately, in that country, if you are a dissident against the ruling anti-democracy people, the military, they just simply put a gun to your head and shoot you. They don't tell you to stop protesting, and they're killing just about everyone. And I think it also brings awareness to this is not just happening there, it's happening in other parts of the world. And I think that was the most significant thing, was that we let the people know that this is not isolated at this time. So thank you for your support, and I appreciated that very much. Anything for future meetings? Okay, I'd like to agendize the shopping cart ordinance. Shopping cart ordinance. I think it's good that we get a chance to, can I just draw a shopping cart on here? Without locking wheels or with locking wheels?
Locking wheels?
I know. I want to go. I want
it. He's looking into putting kind of a bracelet on it.
Okay.
Yeah. In other words, I think it's time that we step up to the plate and find out what's going on with our local businesses with that, and how we can help them keep track of their carts. Okay, anything for a future study session? All right, good. Legal people.
Mayor and Council, I have no item.
Okay, and Hannah?
No item.
Okay, now we come to the OCFA.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, Council Members, City Staff, and Citizens of Stanton. It is my pleasure to provide you with the following OCFA operational report for September 22nd and your favorite public safety partner, the Orange County Fire Authority. So in the month of September of 2022, the OCFA ran a total of 377 incidents within the city boundaries and 61 incidents within the Stanton unincorporated areas. Of those calls, we had a total of 16 fire responses. Approximately 407 were EMS related, and then 15 were hazardous materials, miscellaneous calls, so forth. On an average for the month of September, firefighters responded to a total of 14.6 incidents per day within the city boundaries, which obviously is quite busy, pretty busy response area when you have one station servicing the city of Stanton. There were no, I'm happy to say though, for the month of September, there were no large scale significant events, incidents that took place within the city that are worth reporting on at this time. On Friday, September 16th, firefighters from Engine 46 and our community educators attended the City of Stanton Family Resource Center open house. I heard really good reviews from that attendance. It was well appreciated, and we had some photos that we were also that were posted in the monthly report. During as far as some miscellaneous OCFA involvement, as far as some ongoing activities within the OCFA at large, currently we have 27 candidates taking the fire captain's promotion exam this week. We're very pleased to see those numbers. As we know, over the past couple of years, we've been struggling with our staffing of our captains, engineers, and firefighters just due to promotions and openings. So we're hoping to get a large pool of qualified candidates off this list to assist us with the some of our staffing challenges we've seen and experienced. We also have a total of 15 candidates that are involved in the battalion chief promotion exam this week. One of those is one of the Captain Chris Sotro out of Station 46, so we are wishing him well in his process, as well as three others within our division of battalion. Currently, with the impacts of Tropical Cyclone and Hurricane Ian that impacted Florida, the OCFA participated and supported FEMA with a total of 5 personnel that we sent back to assist with the FEMA incident support teams. They included a support team leader, a plan section chief, a situation unit leader, as well as we deployed 2 human remain detection canines. Four of those personnel are returning this, the remaining personnel returning this week. Some of them were deployed up to 30 days between Puerto Rico and the response to Florida. So we welcome them all back and hope them to get some much needed rest. On September 11th, the OCFA participated, and we remembered the victims of 9/11 with the ceremony at our regional headquarters, where we honored the 2,977 victims that were killed that day, including 343 firefighters, 71 law enforcement port authority officers, 184 military and civilians at the Pentagon, and 246 civilians that were on the 4 planes that were used to carry out these heinous acts of violence. We had a ceremony there, as we do every year, where as a small ceremony, as our opportunity to recognize and commemorate the victims of that heinous attack, and I remember those that we lost. Additionally, in September, we had OCFA members travel back to Colorado Springs, where we honored 2 of our past firefighters, Mark Danielson and Gary Cool, who passed away due to job-related illnesses. These members were 2 of the 469 International Association of Firefighters whose names were etched onto the hollow granite stones at the IFF Memorial in Colorado Springs. This is an annual ceremony that takes place. And we had OCFA members escort the families of those fallen members at that ceremony. In the month of September, the OCFA focused our community safety messaging throughout our communities. We really focused on National Disaster Preparedness Month and Senior Fall Prevention Month. We circulated flyers on educational topics and subjects on these matters with our city staff, our community educators, and at our community outreach programs. As far as some upcoming events at the OCFA, as a reminder, this Saturday, October 15th, we would like to welcome all of you at our annual open house. We're happy to reopen up our fire stations post-COVID now. And at Fire Station 46, we welcome you, your friends, your family, where we'll be hosting an open house at all of our cities, but specifically here in Stanton at Station 46 from 9 to 12 this Saturday. And then in the spring, like I said, reported earlier in 2023, we'll be hosting our annual open house at our OCFA regional headquarters. That is a much larger event where we have live demonstrations. We have cooking demonstrations. We have demonstrations with some of our technical rescue, as well as a display of all of our types of apparatus and equipment. This concludes the Orange County Fire Authority operational report for the month of September, and I'm open to any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Chief. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Is there any other business before the council? Staff? Okay. I'm going to adjourn tonight's meeting in honor of the mother of Mr. Ramirez, Catalina Ramirez, who was preceded by Rigoberto Ramirez. She was a loving mother, and I know that you will all remember the family in our prayers and thoughts. So, Rio, I'm going to adjourn tonight's meeting in honor of your mother. It gives me great pleasure. Thank you.